The following podcast is a presentation of the Washington College of Law at American University. Any unauthorized use or distribution is strictly prohibited.
Hello, everybody. How are you? Welcome to the Working in International Organizations panel. I'm very happy to see you all here in a sunny afternoon. I know it's a hard compromise between being out in the sun and being here listening to us. Anyways, welcome. How many LLMs do I have in the room? Raise your hand if you're an LLM. Thank you. And the rest are all JDs, I would assume? Right? Yes. Okay. Thank you. Welcome for thank you for coming and welcome. For those who don't know me, I am Adriana Vito. I work at the Office of Career and Professional Development. I counsel the LLM students in their career options, strategies, and career choices. I also help you with your resumes, cover letters, and I also teach a class in the law school. I think most of you have seen me before in panels. I will go ahead and briefly introduce the panelists we have with us today. To my immediate left, I have Serge Kelman. Serge works at the inspection panel with the World Bank. And Serge graduated from WCL, so just like you, one day back in the day in his life, he was here as a student. And we are very happy to welcome him back to this house. We also have Bernadette Buschbaum. Bernadette is a Brazilian lawyer. She works with the Inter-American Development Bank. She has a JD and an LLM, so she can talk to you about options for both degrees. To my far left, I have Wolfgang, how do you pronounce your last name?
Bestseller.
Thank you. Wolf works with the International Monetary Fund, the IMF. I'm sure you've heard of the IMF. They are all here to tell us a little bit about themselves, so I won't be very long in my introductions because I want them to introduce themselves to you. That's part of their speech. But also to tell you about two different things. Number one, if you want to be a successful lawyer and you want to end up sitting at the desk where they're sitting today, they will tell you a little bit about the path that they took that led to a very successful job at each organization where they work. And the second thing that we've asked them to talk about is to demystify what it is to work in those organizations, what it is really like, what is the day-to-day life, what is the day-to-day task, do they travel a lot, do they not travel, when they travel, do they get to see anything where they go, or do they only see the contracts and the things they're negotiating. So that's exactly the type of experience that I wanted you to carry out with you today, is what is the day-to-day life of a lawyer in that organization. So each person will talk to you a little bit, and then at the end we'll have a question and answer session. So please save your questions to the end, and please think of all the questions you want to ask since we have them here with us today. Thank you so much, and I'll let Serge take the floor now. Thank you.
Thank you, Adriana. I don't know if you can hear me in the back. Can you hear me? All right. Actually, when I was here back in 2001, it all looked different. Even downstairs, the lobby was different. But yeah, I graduated in 2001. I was one of the lucky ones, actually, to find a job at the World Bank soon after graduation. And it was pure luck because at the time they needed a French-speaking lawyer, so I applied to that position, and I was the right person at the right time. And for the need that the inspection panel had, but that's one thing you should also consider. Every one of you is different in his background, in his academic background, but also cultural background. You have competitive edges, and those will differentiate you from each other. We have a position now open at the inspection panel, and we've received a lot of resumes, and I can tell you. Everyone is as good. All the resumes are each very good and very competitive. And what will make a difference is this slight edge each. I mean, the slight edge the candidate that will get the position will have. But that's how I made it. I had this basically I spoke French. I was lucky, so I'm not gonna. Tell you a long story or tell you all these wonderful things about how you apply. And no, I was just lucky. But it wasn't just luck. When luck is just it just opens opportunity, it just makes you walk in the door, get the interview. Then you have to work hard, you have to look at your background and see how you fit this position. And what we do at the inspection panel is actually very interesting. The inspection panel is an external accountability mechanism. We investigate bank projects for compliance with bank policies. The inspection panel gets triggered by project-affected people, regular Joes in the countries where they live, where a project is financed, and those people would be harmed or believe they would be harmed by a certain project. Could be an extractive industry project, could be a dam that is being built somewhere, could be a program financed, a fiscal program, for example, for which the borrower, the country, is taking a loan from the bank, and with direct impact to certain people, a certain sector. They would complain to us. They would send us a simple letter, basically introducing themselves, who they are, how they are affected by this project, why, because they live in a certain area, because they have their livelihoods being taken, because they're being resettled, because their environment is being impacted, and how it relates to bank policies. In this case, in all the time, they don't need to know the bank policies, because most people living around the world have no clue what the bank safeguards are or all the rest of the policies. But you have a common sense idea of what a bank policy would be. Certainly a World Bank policy, an institution which is fighting for poverty reduction and the promotion of good standards for people living in those areas in developing countries. So that's what we look at. We do field visits. We meet with the people. We listen to their concerns. We consult. We basically investigate also bank staff. We investigate the project. We look at all the documentation, and we issue a report, an investigation report. Most of our investigation reports have been controversial. Certainly, the bank have committed certain mistakes in complying with its own policies, and have tried to correct those through action plans, which management, the people we investigate, have issued to the board, and the board approved. The inspection panel is an independent entity within the bank. It doesn't report to management, which is the structure, which is the bank. It only reports to the board of directors through the reports we issue, whether it's an eligibility report accepting a case or investigation report once we have compiled all our observations and findings. The inspection panel is two level structure. You have the secretariat, which is formed mainly of lawyers, and there is a few of us from American University graduates, alumni, and the panel members, and those are mostly retired, not necessarily retired, but they're at this level of their career, and they must be very experienced in development, and they're three. They have a term of 5 years, non-renewable, and the condition for them to serve at the panel is not to have worked for the World Bank previously. Currently we have an Austrian chair of the panel. We also have an Argentinian. The Austrian's name is Dr. Werner Kine. Dr. Roberto Lenton, hydrologist, is also on the panel. And we used to have a Thai, Professor Tongroj Onchan, who actually just ended his term. And we're right now looking at someone to replace him. That's it. Now, about mystifying the bank, demystifying our job. I mean, at least I can speak for myself, and my job at the inspection panel is very interesting. It's not anything you dream of once you join law school. We do a lot of desk work, a lot of report writing, but we go to the most remote villages. My last trip in Africa, the previous last trip, I was in the middle of the forest, the Congo forest, and it was the most compelling, most interesting experience for me, because we had to deal with the indigenous people, listen to them in their own language and their issues and their concerns, and see how the bank failed them, and try to understand what should be done from their perspective within the context of the bank's means, certainly dealing with the government, and what the bank can do when you have a government who's not necessarily concerned about certain aspects of those people's lives, but more generally in the overall good of the nation, or whatever you want to, however you want to put it. So it's all very interesting, and it enriches you. And I'm very happy to be working there, to tell you the truth. That's it.
Thank you. That was very good.
Thank you.
I have been in the IDB since 1987, and I have worked in different areas of the legal department. The opportunities for lawyers at the IDB, in addition to having also an investigation panel like the World Bank, we are more or less set up like the World Bank. You can work as a lawyer outside the legal department if you work in putting together projects for the reform of the justice systems in the countries, the legislative or the executive branches. There are several lawyers who work as project team leaders or project specialists in state reform, especially in the legislative and judicial branches. Within the legal department, you can take three different paths. The legal department is divided in three broad areas. You can work in what we call corporate management, which is internal institutional matters. And the IDB, as the World Bank, the IMF, and other international organizations, since we are not subject to labor laws of any given country, we have our own administrative tribunal to deal with personnel matters. And that's a specialty within all the international organizations, where you specialize in tribunal matters. These tribunals are composed of judges from different countries, and basically the attorneys present their cases to the judges, and there are witnesses, and it's a whole procedure that's internal to the organizations, but with outside judges. Also, if you are in the corporate management area, you do regular commercial contracts. You deal with problems relating to leases, to purchase of property in the field offices, purchase of property here. You deal a lot with privileges, immunities issues, which is very interesting if you are interested in conflict of laws and the pure international law. This is a very restricted area. Very few people know well about the privileges and immunities of international organizations, which are not quite the same as foreign states, but are similar. We do some taxation, and again, the immunities of taxations, applications for tax immunities in the different countries, and so on. This is the corporate management area. The World Bank has a similar area. You can work as an attorney in the legal department in the bond area, because both the World Bank and the IDB, they issue bonds in the market. That's how we get money to finance our projects. So you can be a bond attorney. And you would be working with attorneys in the financial markets on bond issues, also on prospects and brochures to the SEC, because we register our bond issues. Our bonds are AAA rated. They have the full backing of the U.S. Treasury, and they are sold in international markets. And the third area you can work, and that's where I have been working for the past 9 years, is in projects area, the operational area. The IDB is divided in three. The projects area, which is the biggest area within the legal department, we are divided in three regions: the Southern Cone, Central America, and Mexico, and the Caribbean and Andean countries. The attorneys in the project area, they work with the team leaders in different kinds of projects. It can be sanitation, it can be social projects, it can be fiscal projects. And the attorney basically drafts and negotiates the loan agreements. The loan agreements can be of two kinds, what we call sovereign guaranteed operations. These are loans taken by the federal or central governments of the countries, or by the municipalities and the states with a guarantee from the federal government. So these are more public sector loans for public sector projects. And also we have now a new window within the legal department where we are financing private projects, where we have a loan, an A loan, financed by the private sector, and the IDB complements this loan with a B loan. And this is more project finance. If you want to go into project finance, that would be the area where you would go. Or you can go to public sector loans or corporate management or bonds. And both the World Bank and the IDB have similar areas of work, except that the IDB is a regional bank, so we only work with Latin America. I think that it's very important, your language skills are very important. At the IDB, it's essential that you speak Spanish fluently, since the official language inside the bank and most documents are in Spanish. And as opposed to the World Bank, where all the loan contracts are in English, because it would be impossible to have so many loan contracts in different languages, so everything in the World Bank is in English. In the IDB, all the loan contracts are drafted in the language of the country, because we only deal with Portuguese, English, Spanish, and French. So all the loan contracts are drafted and negotiated in the foreign language of the country. So the language skills in the IDB are extremely important. So if you are fluent in one of these four official languages of the bank, that is really a must.
Sounds good. I'm sure they're going to have questions for you afterwards.
Thank you very much. I would like to make my presentation split up in three different parts. First, to talk a little bit about myself, my resume, in addition to what is already presented here. The second part, talk a little bit about legal work at the IMF. And the third part, to talk about my daily work, what I'm doing there. So, just to give you an idea, I worked after graduating from law school here in Georgetown in 2000. I worked a couple of years in the private sector. I also did clerkships and so on. And they worked in the area of M&A, financial transactions, international finance, and these kind of things. So this gave me a little bit the background that they helped me also with my work now at the fund. And I have been working at the fund for the last 3 years. I started in there in 2006, so quite recently I joined them. How is the legal department? I think Bernadette already explained about how legal departments are structured in international organizations. It's very similar in the IMF as well. I think one big difference is our operations are much smaller than, for instance, in the World Bank. The World Bank is like 10 times bigger than here. So we have, our legal department has like 40 lawyers, so it's very small. And the legal department is split up in four different groups. One group is exclusively works with anti-money laundering and against the financing of terrorism, so they only give TA and assessments in these type of areas. The second section works with administrative matters, like Bernadette just explained, like tribunals, immunities, privileges, immunities, and these kind of issues. The third group works exclusively with technical assistance in the banking area, central banking, and solvency areas. The fourth group, the group with which I am, is the so-called country unit, and we work with the daily operations of the fund. And the fund is very different from the development agencies like the IDB or the World Bank, because we don't invest in projects, or the fund doesn't invest in projects. The fund gives countries in balance of payments needs loans or financings. And there's different instruments to give this financing dependent on the income level of the country. For instance, for low-income countries, we have a trust instrument where they can get or request loans and financings. And if they're middle income or high income, they get the financings from the general resources of the fund. And in my unit, this country unit, we are about like 15 lawyers, and everybody has a portfolio of different countries. So, and one of the facts I like working at the IMF is that I'm not assigned to a specific region or area. I have countries from all over the place. I have a couple of countries in America, a couple of countries in Europe, a couple of countries in Africa, Asia Pacific, Middle East. So it's really a nice overview. And obviously all countries in the world are different, and they have different needs, and some countries need the IMF or the World Bank or international organizations more than others. And not only does the fund provide financing to countries in need when they need it, but also there's an annual consultation, the so-called Article 4 consultation, where essentially a fund mission team goes to these, to all our 185 members, to engage them in policy discussions, for instance, fiscal policies, exchange system, exchange rates, which is now very en vogue, so to speak, because everybody is talking about whether China has misaligned currency, whether the currency is undervalued, whether maybe the dollar is overvalued, how it relates it to the euro. So there's a lot of these kind of issues, whether exchange arrangements are appropriate, because this comes back from the inception of the IMF. The IMF initially, when it was created in 1946, it was exclusively put in place to overview the exchange rate arrangements, because you remember there was this, I don't remember, but maybe somebody remembers, but in 1946 to 1972, there was this fixed exchange rate, and if you wanted to change your exchange rate, you needed to notify the IMF, and the IMF needed to consent to that. But this broke down in 1972, when the US government essentially broke down the bank, and now we have mostly free exchange rates movements, but nevertheless there's some what we call surveillance regime in place, and this surveillance is one of the things that is also discussed in this Article 4 consultation when missions go once a year to the 185 members. So this is the second area where lawyers are working in. You hear this is all not very legalistic. There's a lot of international affairs, politics and economics also that we have to take in account, but nevertheless what lawyers do is strictly looking at policies and all these things, the fund procedures and our charter, which are called the Articles of Agreement, are complied with, because there are, I think, I don't know, 35 articles, and we have to ensure that whatever the fund is doing is in compliance with the articles. Another smaller area of the legal department's work is exchange arrangements or exchange restrictions, which is now of less importance, but when the fund was incepted in the 40s, it was just of high importance to get rid of these exchange restrictions on current international transactions. And the fourth area we are active in my unit is also give technical assistance to certain in certain areas, also central banking, also insolvency regimes. If a member, one of our members doesn't have an appropriate insolvency regime to treat a crisis, then we give them technical assistance in this area as well. How does my daily work routine look like? Essentially, the flow is determined by the flow of countries you have. If, for instance, you have a lot of what we call program countries, these are countries that have program with the fund, either a PRGF arrangement or a standby arrangement. These are the most common arrangements. For instance, I have country Iraq and I have Senegal, so Iraq has a standby arrangement, so I have a lot of to do in order to make completion of reviews, the constant crafting of arrangements, and to look whether all the performance criteria are complied with, the conditionality, and to go. So there's a lot of things, these kind of which are necessarily related to the financing of the fund. Then other countries, for instance, have also the United States as a country. Obviously, the United States, we don't know it as of now, doesn't need any financing, but we will see how the financial crisis is playing out. But they honestly have only once a year this Article 4 consultation. But nevertheless, the fund looks into a lot of these issues that have been discussed recently, like Freddie Mae, Fannie Mae, and financial system stability, interest rate exchange arrangements. So this is less legalistic, but nevertheless interesting issues to read about and to look and to be informed about. So to give you an idea, we have more engagement with certain countries than with others. That's maybe traveling. Maybe this is also interesting. We in the fund, we travel as lawyers, we travel less. If you're an economist in the fund, you travel a lot because you're obviously assigned to one specific country and then you go constantly to this country, in particular when you have a program country. Like a couple of years back when Argentina, before they went into the crisis, these country teams went on a monthly basis to Argentina to negotiate and help them out. But as lawyers, you travel less. You travel mostly on these exchange restrictions schemes, or if there's really a very difficult program case in the design of the program, you also travel and help the economists to make everything legally in compliance with the articles. And the third area where you travel is technical assistance. If a country requests technical assistance on certain aspects, you also travel there and leave them a banking law, supervision law, a central banking law, or whatever, if they need help in these kind of things. Yeah. I think basically this
sums it up. Thank you so much. I was wondering if anybody has any questions. I'd like to open the floor for questions. I would like to take advantage of the fact that we have three brilliant people with us, because later you always come to my office with a lot of questions and I cannot answer because they are the specialists of what they do. So please don't be shy. We have a very quiet crowd today. Nobody has questions? Okay. I have questions. Oh, we do. Sorry. Hold them.
Is it necessary to have a financial background, like taking finance courses or economics?
I don't think it's necessary. If you read the newspaper, if you read The Economist, and you keep abreast of what is going on in the world, that comes naturally, because at least in the IDB, the attorney is not required to know the financial issues. You will look at the legal issues behind the financial issues. For instance, when you negotiate a contract, you will see the terms and conditions of the contract. You will analyze the laws of the country to see if that contract can be signed. You analyze, for instance, if the executing agency, because you usually have a borrower executing agency, if it exists, legally exists. So if you can read the laws, regulations, and analyze that, that suffices. As long as you are well aware of what's going on in the world, you certainly must like financial issues and be interested in them, but it does not require legal courses in the financial sector, I think, at least at the IDB you don't.
I think I agree with you, but it doesn't harm if you do it. And if you're interested in economics and finance and do these kind of courses, this is definitely a plus. And I don't know how much it's in the World Bank or the IDB, but our audience mostly are economists and not lawyers, which is, for me, was a very different step than in the law firm. Law firm, you're always working with other lawyers, and the other side is always lawyers. And if you go to court, there are lawyers all around. But suddenly you have to explain legal issues to economists or the non-lawyers, let's put it more broadly. And most of the time speak the same language. So if you understand what they are thinking and how they are thinking, you can explain it much better to them. So it's definitely a plus if you take international finance or economics or these kind of classes. But frankly, in my job, it's very helpful.
The inspection panel, I'd say the bank in general, any degree you have in addition to your law degree is an asset. I know people at INT, the integrity department, those who look at issues of white-collar crime, so to say, or business conduct. I know some people who have policing background, FBI, who used to be FBI agents, plus a legal degree. I know at the legal environmental department at the World Bank, some of the attorneys there have environmental degrees. So any additional financial degree or others are actually an asset, and it's a good thing. And the bank, the World Bank, looks for people who are distinct, and lawyers who are distinct from others. And we have actually a new program. It's not new. It's been there for the past 3 years. It's a legal associate program, and you apply to it through the New York Fair. New York Job Fair. I don't know if they use the.
Yes, AU is one of the schools that participate.
And a handful of lawyers are selected every year for 1 or 2 years, and even fewer of them actually get to keep a job at the World Bank. But there are others. I mean, the inspection panel, we're not part of that selection process because we're independent, as I say. We look at interesting resumes like those. I mean, anything that distinguishes you from other colleagues is an asset, and you should put it out in your resume, and especially in your interviews. When you go somewhere getting interviewed, tell them your background, tell them the languages you speak. That was my experience, but you have others, and you have other experiences. You have your other degrees, and those are assets. Don't hesitate in mentioning them.
Also, I wanted to mention the IDB has a program that's called the Young Professionals Program. Every year, you apply early on in the year. I think January or February is the deadline. And they select usually two or three professionals from each different profession. So they can choose two attorneys. That's the program Julio is gotten to the IDB through this program. That's a very prestigious program. And what they do, even if you are an attorney, they rotate you throughout different departments to have a career in the organization. So you start usually with the legal department, you stay 1 or 2 years with the legal department, then you go to an operational department and so on, and you move around to have a general idea of the organization. And this is a very popular, very competitive program, but it's very interesting.
But Nanesh, do you have an idea of numbers? How many people apply to that program and how many actually get selected? What is...
I have the idea for the vacancies we have in the legal department. We have had more or less 400 to 500 applicants for each position. Okay. So it's extremely competitive. Everybody has 2-3 language skills, and LLMs is, of course, a common. The young professional program, I have no idea how many in total, because it's, it's a organization-wide program. It's not only for attorneys, but for economists, people with environmental degrees, educational specialists, and so on. So I am not sure how many people.
Just to give a reference for those of you who are new, because I see a lot of the new LLMs in the room, we have an alum, his name is Julio Gitti, and he was selected for this program that Bernadette is talking about, and he graduated from the ILSP program. He's originally from Honduras, right?
Yes, right.
And he's been in the bank, I think, for more than 2 years now, almost going into 3 years. So he finished this program and he continued at the bank. And his contact is available for any of you who want to talk to him. He went through the whole selection process. I was helping him. Actually, I'm very proud to be able to have helped him in his interviews. He had panel interviews. He had individual interviews. It was a very long selection process, but he made it, and we're very proud of him for that. So it's one of the people that make us very proud out there.
Yeah, right now he is in the environmental department. He left the legal department and is doing his rotation.
And he's very social, and he manages to find time to still organize a lot of parties for the LLMs. So if any of you want to be on his list,
and
please let me know.
And good parties also.
Very good parties. He's very social. He's a wonderful person. And I intend to bring him back and have him talk to you as well. So I have a question for Wolfgang, actually. I was wondering if when you were doing your LLM, did you have an idea that you would end up in the IMF one day? Or was it something that was circumstantial after your LLM? And the reason why I'm asking that is because I see a lot of LLMs coming to my office and asking the same question, whether they should take courses already or not. So the question really is, like, even if you had no idea you were going to end up there, is there anything that, you know, you did to prepare, or did you know all along that this is what your goal was?
I think ultimately I wanted to work in an international organization. I worked before for the European Union, for the European Court of Justice before, which I liked a lot, which was very interesting. So ultimately I thought, but I think In the very short term, I thought it was necessary, and in retrospect, I think it was essential to work in a law firm in the private sector, just to get like 5, 6, 7 years of experience in the private sector, just to see how things are done there, and then go to the international organization, because I think the private sector experience just, maybe it's not necessarily true, but for me it really sharpened my mind, really put you under pressure, and shows you really to go the necessary step, I think, which we shouldn't forget, international organizations are not private sector entities for the most part. A lot of people, most of the people work really hard. I was actually surprised how hard people work, and they really travel a lot, and they're really dedicated to the cause. But it's still, nevertheless, there are some things that it's not a private entity. So it's quite good to be subject to the competition out there, I think, in my view. So I think, and I chose courses not based on this ultimate goal of working in an international organization, but just out of what interests me. For instance, I picked international finance, which turned out to be very useful in my career now. Or I also put international taxation, which is not as useful now, but nevertheless, it's good to have these kind of things. Or corporations, corporate finance. Securities, which was very good for my previous job, which is not as necessary now, but nevertheless, it's good to have these kind of backgrounds in finance.
If you didn't take the courses like finance, can you apply? They will consider.
I think it depends on the resume, as I said. If you have a very good resume, then they will consider you regardless of what courses you took. If you have a lot of experience, professional experience in these kind of things that they need, then I think the courses are not as necessary, I think, later on. If it's like your second or third job, I think then it's really what is necessary is like the professional experience that you've gained, I think.
question for Mr. Selman. And so, do you take what kind of cases do you inspect? I mean, does the World Bank, they take every case brought into the World Bank, inspect every cases?
We have eligibility criteria for the requests. We would investigate any project or program that people believe is harming them, and for which the financial line is still open, the disbursement is still ongoing, up to 95%. But that's a technicality. So we would investigate almost everything, except procurement, because there is another entity that looks into procurement issue, which is the integrity office, integrity department at the World Bank. But we do have conditions, eligibility requirements. It must be the request that is presented to us, the complaint, has to be written by at least two people. There must be, of course, a bank-financed project or program related to that request. Those two people have to come from the project area, so they must be directly impacted from whatever the program or project is. And they must have tried to solve their issues with the bank first, management, through either the country office or headquarters, which puts the inspection panel as a last resort mechanism. So that's about it.
Can I mention, he mentioned procurement, and that came to mind that a lot of the international organizations also employ attorneys in their procurement departments. And that's an area that's growing, and it's an area that has a lot to grow. So that's a specialty that some people don't think about, but it has a good perspective. It's to specialize in bidding and procurement laws. Because what you need are attorneys to go into the countries, review procurement laws, draft procurement legislation, and also apply procurement regulations from the IDB, the World Bank, or any other international organization to specific purchases.
And if I'm not mistaken, I don't know if he's still here, but Professor De Laurenti, is he still here?
Yes.
He gives procurement classes, mm-hmm. and he's actually a counsel at the World Bank. And many of your faculty are actually professionals from either the World Bank, the IDB, or certainly the IMF. But you probably know that already.
they seem like it's new information for them, so that's it's good that you mentioned it. Yes.
But that's an interesting area, procurement, where mm-hmm. they require more and more specialization, and it's a new area.
Appreciate that you mentioned that. Yeah. Any other questions? Yes.
I have a question regarding selection process. Are you relying, when you're looking at resumes, you said 400 to 500 people are applying for a certain position. What does the successful resume constitute in? I mean, would you rely more on academic background? Would you rely more on practical experience, does it need to be a specific area, or would you appreciate diverse experience from different areas, and legal as well, of course?
That's an excellent question. Thank you.
I think if it's for a beginner's position, the academics are important. What kind of school you attended, if you have an LLM or not, your language skills are important. And the kind of summer jobs you took, if you took summer jobs in that show an interest in development, that would be helpful more than anything else. If you are applying for a more senior position, then your previous background and experience are important.
The IMF and the World Bank?
I would say the same thing. I mean, every resume we get, everyone has a JD, of course, but most have also an LLM. So what we look is at what distinguishes a resume from the other, and that's for me that would be the interesting thing.
Yeah, the same is true.
The question I had, just to follow up on this about the resume, is a lot of people come to my office and ask whether they should take the bar if they know they only want to work for international organizations. What is your opinion on that? because it doesn't seem, looking from outside, doesn't seem necessary, but at the same time, to be a fully fledged attorney, you need to be barred. So,
well, the bank,
and then
the
which bar to take, they always ask us. So,
the word bank requires that its counsels be member of a bar association. It could be your country's bar association, or it could be New York or any other. So it's, but you have to be member of a bar association.
It's the same with the IDB, although I have to admit that people are impressed that if you have passed the U.S. bar, you get an advantage over other candidates, definitely.
If us, it's the same requirement, you have to be barred somewhere. And I think, I can only speak from an Austrian perspective, the U.S. bar is a little bit, not easier in the sense, but quicker to do, because you can sit it essentially after the LLM, whereas if you want to be a full-fledged Austrian attorney, you would need to go in addition to an JD, you would need to 1 year of clerkship and 4 years of practice, and then you have to do the partnership. So it's much harder to get there. So it's, in that respect, it's easier to just be barred in, not easier, but quicker to be barred.
Different requirements.
Yeah. You had a question.
Yes, for Ms. Buschbaum. You mentioned LLM as a preferred requirement. What about those of us who are actually still coursing our LLM? We haven't graduated yet. Does the bank have internship positions available?
Yeah, the bank has an agreement with AU where you can work at the bank for credit at AU. So we always have interns. We have summer interns. We have a program that's specifically for summer interns, which is a general program. We have summer interns in all areas of expertise at the bank, including the law. We always pick up two or three summer interns. And we have the AU program where people work, I think 20 hours a week?
Yeah, let me explain 20
hours.
About that.
Yeah. We have had a number of people from AU there.
AU has an agreement with the Inter-American Development Bank, and we have the fall internship program. So every fall, the bank has to take, I mean, it's part of the agreement that they will take two interns from American University, from the Washington College of Law. I have to explain also, and I'm very happy I have a full room to say this, that in the past, we've had about 10 applications. And if you think that we have 150 students in the LLM program, and I send at least 30 emails about this internship every year, we only get about 10 applicants. So something is missing. And I'm glad that you brought it up, because I really want people to apply more for this internship. And also because we recently, as of last week, negotiated an expansion for that program, because I thought it's something that you guys are interested in. So we went there and we negotiated with the bank that they will take two interns, not only in the fall, but also in the spring and the summer. Now, to keep this up, I need you to apply. So I'm very happy that you brought that up, because it's something that is being overlooked by the students for some reason, and no matter how many emails I send out, you know, we're not getting enough applications in. So this semester we have two selected students who are there starting now. And if you are an LLM student, which I know you are, and this is in your radar, is something you want to do, come and talk to me. The way to apply is just to send me your resume and a cover letter, and it's very easy. So, and pay attention to the announcements that I send through email, because then you have all the deadlines for the semester that you're willing to go there and work. You can do it for credit, or you can do it not for credit. It can be somewhere between 20 to 40 hours a week. So you choose how much you work, and you choose whether you want to take credit or not.
Then I'll have my pitch here. I do think that 40 hours a week, it's better, because you are there more often. Uh-huh. You can learn more, and you can feel more integrated into the legal department. As with 20 hours, we feel like we are teaching and getting people involved, and then they have to leave because they have to. But in any ways, it's always a very good experience, both for the candidates and for us, and you also build up some contacts and community, and you learn a lot, because we have a lot of work, and we are not shy about giving.
So. We appreciate it, actually. And Spanish is a requirement, right?
I would say that you do need the Spanish, to be realistic, because most documents are in Spanish. If you have Portuguese, there is plenty of work with Brazil, too.
And the other requirement is that your country has to be a member country. So not all people from all over the world are invited. We had a very good candidate last year from Kenya, but unfortunately the bank is not able to take candidates from Kenya because it's not a member country. So you should look it up. The list of countries is on the website. So
do we have agreement with the World Bank?
We don't have that type of agreement with the World Bank. To my knowledge, the World Bank doesn't give exclusivity to one university or another so far as I know. We've been trying, but it seems we have an agreement, an informal agreement with the inspection panel, because if you observe, there are four alums from WCL, from the ILSP program, working at the inspection panel.
Out of five staff.
Yeah, since we are being recorded, I don't want to say we have an agreement, but it's obvious that there is some... I'm just kidding with you.
But
there is no agreement.
If I can add, maybe the World Bank has a policy that it wouldn't give internships. Everyone working at the World Bank has to be paid. So that rules out any free internships. But at the inspection panel, we've had externships where people were working for credits. So basically, there was some money involved. We have at the inspection panel, we do get fellows from the Rhodes Fellows and other programs. So where these young people are actually financed somehow, and those are what we call our interns. But as long as someone is paying them, then we can take them.
It begs the question: how does it work at the IMF?
We have an intern program, but I think it's internship program, but it's mostly for economists. Mm-hmm. But we have an extern program, which is I think exclusively with Georgetown University. So mm-hmm. we have always one extern in the summer, one in the winter that works for the legal department. So I'm not sure. Actually, they have to double check whether it's exclusively with Georgetown, mm-hmm. but it's always a Georgetown.
It's always a Georgetown.
Yeah, so mm-hmm. maybe it's exclusively. Double check.
Other questions? Yes.
I have a question. I'm one of the Humphrey Fellow. I'm a lawyer in Beijing, China. My major is intellectual property right, especially at the patent law and the trademark law. So I know in a bank log, in a bank service, there are many issues related to intellectual property right. So do you welcome me next year I go to your office for internship?
Look, China is not a member of the bank yet, and I say yet because they are negotiating membership. So I think in the near future they will be. My background is also patent and intellectual property. And the way I started at the bank, I started in corporate management doing the software license agreements because I started a long time ago and nobody had these big computer systems. And the bank was purchasing and implementing computer systems. So I, in fact, worked my first 5 years in software licensing agreements. So in the international organizations, it would have to be within the corporate law. Also, some of the organizations have a science and technology department where they provide technical assistance to the countries to implement technical issues. There are some attorneys there in a few of the organizations working in technical assistance to the countries that are implementing. For instance, I worked in a project recently in Brazil where the legislature was developing an internet system for publishing all the legislation and having access to all the candidates and the public in general to legislation. So you could work in something like this.
Thank you. Yeah. Sounds very interesting.
These are all just three of the international organizations that are out there. There are many more. Don't forget, right. There's United Nations, there's WTO, mm-hmm. there's the European Union. So there are lots of others. There's WIPO for intellectual property. So there,
yeah.
Don't be fooled.
WIPO. Yeah. If you are an intellectual exactly. property, WIPO is a wonderful.
But you have to move to Geneva. But it's a nice city. So
yeah, I'm sure he wouldn't mind that.
I would say at the World Bank we do have intellectual property concerns, and I remember, if I'm not mistaken, there's a copyright link at the bank's website and you follow it, and there's all these rules about protecting staff information, about protecting or not protecting World Bank information, because all our documents are supposedly transparent and publicly disclosed, but not at least not misquoting them or things like that. So And we have a legal within the legal department, we have a section called Legad, Legal Administration. I think they deal with copyright issues for the World Bank, and that's where you should try to make some contacts and follow up.
Any other questions? Okay, I just have one last question then, because I could be asking them things all day since I get these questions from students all the time. The question I have for the three of you is, we know about the programs and we know about the internship programs and we know about the formal programs, the young professionals and all that. Since they're very selective and most of the people will not make through the selection and end up working those positions, what can an attorney who's here with us in this room today as a JD or an LLM, what can they do to become attractive to the international organizations if they didn't make it through those very selective programs? So I know that Wolf mentioned working in the private sector for maybe 5 or 6 years and then transitioning into the bank. What is the advice you can give to the people who won't make through the very selective programs?
I think for the IDB, they like to people to have local experience too. Mm-hmm. So if you have the opportunity to go in a country that the IDB is member and work there in issues related maybe in the government, in the local government, that would be a plus, that would help you. Or you could work for an NGO that deals with matters that are relevant to the organization and then transitions from the NGO to the organization.
I would say publish, right? Publish things you're interested in. Don't remain idle of the market. Don't let there be a big gap in your resume. One of the main issues, the legal, at least legal environment, those are the people I interact a lot with at the World Bank. One of the main issues that they're concerned with today is climate change. Some of you may be interested in that field and write about it from a legal perspective. Climate change affects riparian countries that share rivers, lakes, or any international water bodies. Those are issues you might want to write about if you're interested, or others. Social issues and international resettlement, but at an international level, from your countries, that would be very interesting. And that would be my advice. Write a little bit.
Thank you. Wolf, any?
Yep. I think I can only repeat what they have said before, but don't be discouraged if you don't get accepted immediately, because for instance, from the IMF, in the legal department, they would not hire people with less than 5 years of experience. So you have to have a couple of years of experience, professional experience. So I'm sure this is true for the IDB, and certainly also for the World Bank. They don't hire people right out of law school. So to get out there and get experience somewhere else is always a good thing. To publish is, to attend courses is always a very good recommendation. So.
Well, if you don't have any other questions, so we can wrap up. Okay, since it's already over 5:30 and we have the room only until 5:30, we'll wrap up here. Thank you so much for the panelists. Thank you for coming all the way here. We know AU is very out of the way for people who work in downtown, so I really appreciate you coming all the way here. Thank you so much.
And thank you for the audience.